Perek Dalet Mishnah Tes. This Mishnah is dealing with a man who has two women, each one who is married to him in a slightly different way. And the problem is that he's not allowed to be married to both of them at once. And what is he supposed to do? The quality, the nature of the two marriages are not really the same, but he can't have both of them. So is he supposed to get rid of the one woman or the other woman? Or perhaps he's obligated to get rid of both. So the Mishnah says, Shomeres Yavam, let's say you have a man who's a woman who's a Shomeres Yavam. She's waiting for the Yavam to perform Yibum. And then Kidesh Achiv Es Achosa. The brother marries the sister of this Shomeres Yavam. So Mishum Rabbi Yehuda ben Maseira Amu, in the name of Rabbi Yehuda ben Maseira, they said, Omrim Lo, we say to him, Hamtein Ad Sheyaseh Achicha HaGadol Maaseh. Hamtein, wait. Ad Sheyaseh Achicha HaGadol, until your older brother does the Maaseh, does the Yibum. So in other words, we started out with three brothers, Reuven, Shimon, and Levi. Reuven was married to the woman who now is a Shomeres Yavam. Shimon and Levi were both bachelors. Then Reuven dies. So Reuven's wife becomes a Shomeres Yavam to both Shimon and to Levi. Then Shimon went ahead and married the sister of the Shomeres Yavam. So therefore, he's married in a sense, he's connected, he's related to the Shomeres Yavam through the mechanism called Zika, which is the way that Chazal described the relationship between the Yavam and the Shomeres Yavam, in a way that's sort of like marriage. And now he's married genuinely with Kedushin D'Oraisa to the sister of the Shomeres Yavam. But he's not allowed to be married to two sisters at once. So the question is, what is he supposed to do? So Rabbi Yehuda ben Maseira says, we tell him, wait until your other brother, until Levi. Levi's not married to the Shomeres Yavam sister, so Levi is still perfectly allowed to perform Yibum with the Shomeres Yavam. So we tell Shimon, who married the sister of the Shomeres Yavam, wait until Levi does Yibum with the Shomeres Yavam. And then the Shomeres Yavam will be nothing to use. There won't be any Zika anymore, because Levi's Yibum will undo the Zika. And then you can go ahead and do Nisu, and you can finally go under the chuppah with your wife, with the sister of your present Shomeres Yavam. Chalatz la'achiv, what happens if Levi, the third brother, the bachelor, does chalitza to the Shomeres Yavam, o kenasa, or he does yibum to the Shomeres Yavam, he brings her into his house. The halacha then is, yichnos es ishto, Shimon is allowed to be konis, he's allowed to bring his wife into his home. Mesa ha-yavama, if the yavama dies, so the zika goes off through either the chalitza or the yibum or the mises ha-yavama, all three of these things undo the zika, so therefore again, yichnos es ishto, Shimon is allowed to marry his wife. What about mes yavam? What happens if Shimon now dies? So now Levi's stuck, because Levi has Zika to Reuven's wife, and he also has Zika to Shimon's wife, who is a sister of Reuven's wife. So now there's two sisters who both are, quote-unquote, married to Levi with the Zika relationship. So what's the halacha? What happens if Levi dies? And now, the only person who possibly can do Yibum with the Shomeres Yavam is Shimon. But Shimon is already married to the Shomeres Yavam's sister. Again, Levi, the bachelor, died. So now Shimon is the only one left who can possibly do Yibum with the Shomeres Yavam. So now he's stuck. Because if he does Yibum with the Shomeres Yavam, he can't do that because she's the sister of his wife. If he does Chalitza with the Shomeres Yavam, so then he has to divorce his wife because his wife is a Chos Chalutza, so and the sister of a Chalutza is forbidden as long as that Chalutza is alive. So he's stuck. He's the wife of one sister, and he's the Yavam of another sister, and the only possible thing that he can do under these circumstances is Yotzias Ishto Beget. He's got to send his wife away with the get, Ve'ishas Achiv Bechalitza, and send away the Shomeres Yavam, the wife of his deceased brother, the wife of Reuven, with Chalitza. Mishnah Yud. Hayavama, lo tachlos velo tisyabim. The Yavama shouldn't do Chalitza, nor should she do Yibum, ad sheyesh la shlosha chadashim, until 3 months have elapsed since the passing of her deceased husband. But within those 3 months, she's not supposed to do Yibum, nor is she supposed to do Chalitza. V'chein kol shara nashim, and the same thing applies to all women who become widows or divorcees. Lo yisarsu v'lo yinasu, they shouldn't get married with erusin, which is the first level, putting the ring on her finger, or nisu in the chuppah. Neither of those, ad sheyihyu lahen shlosha chadashim, until 3 months elapse between the divorce or the death of the husband and the second marriage, even the second erusin. And the Mishnah goes on and says, Echad besulais ve'echad be'ulais. It makes no difference whether the woman's a besula, makes no difference whether she's a be'ula. Why would I think that there should be a difference? Because I would think the primary reason for having to wait 3 months is to discern if the woman has a child 9 months after her divorce, or 9 months after she becomes a widow. So we won't know then whether the child is a 9 month baby from her first husband, or whether the child is a 7 month baby from the second husband. So we have to tell her to wait 3 months, and that way, if she has a baby 9 months after her husband's death, we know that it's a 9 month baby from the first husband, because she's only married to the second husband for 6 months. And if she has a baby 10 or 11 months after the first husband's death, then we'll know that it's a 7 month baby from the second husband. Will have no confusion whatsoever. But if we let her get married within 3 months of becoming a divorcee or of becoming a widow, so then we'll have confusion if the baby is born too soon. If the baby is born relatively prematurely, then we won't know if it's a full term baby from the first husband or a premature baby from the second husband. So that's why you would think that a besula shouldn't have to worry about this, because a besula she's not going to have any babies. But the answer is, the Gemara says that we make a gzeira, the Chachamim said, that we don't want any woman to get married, because if we let some women get married within 3 months, then all the women are going to go ahead and think, oh, the 3 month gzeira doesn't apply to me. Then they'll all get married, and we'll be faced with confusion about whether the baby is full term or premature, and who's really the father of the baby. So therefore, in order to make sure that all women understand that they're not allowed to get married within 3 months, we say across the board, no exceptions, no one can get married within 3 months. Not a besula, not a be'ula. Echa grushos ve'echa almanos. Not grushos and not almanos. Not divorces, not widows. Echa nisuos ve'echa arusos. Whether they're divorced or widowed from nisuin, from after the chuppah, or whether they're divorced and widowed only after the erusin, after he put the ring on her finger. In the times of the Mishnah, they used to wait a year in between putting the ring on her finger and going under the chuppah. Makes no difference. One way or another, they have to wait 3 months. That's the Tanakama's opinion. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Rabbi Yehuda says, no. Ha nisuos yis arsu. The nisuos are allowed to have erusin, because before the nisuin, only after the erusin, the husband and the wife are not allowed to be together. The wife used to live with her parents, the husband used to live with his parents. So there's no concern that even if a woman was previously a nisua, meaning that passively she became pregnant from the first husband, there's no concern at all that there's going to be confusion, because if she only is permitted to have erusin, to have the second husband put the ring on her finger, but she's not permitted to go under the chuppah with the second husband, so then there's no concern at all that the baby is going to belong to the second husband, because she never went under the chuppah with him. So therefore, Rabbi Yehuda says that the nisuos can have erusin. And furthermore, says Rabbi Yehuda, ha'arusos yinasu, if the women only had erusin with their first husband, so again, there's no concern at all that the baby belongs to the first husband, because the first husband never went under the chuppah with her. So therefore, the baby can't come from the first husband. It must be from the second husband. So therefore, we allow the arusos who are widowed or divorced from erusin even to have nisuin. Chutz, with one exception, chutz min ha'arusos, Sheb Yehuda, except for the Arusois in Yehuda. Yehuda was one of the three provinces of Eretz Yisrael, and over there, Mipnesha Libai Gaspa, over there we suspect that even before the chuppah, that the husband and the wife have been a little bit too intimate. So we're worried over there in that province of Yehuda that maybe the baby, even though it was only an Arusa, maybe the Arusa, the Arus, the husband, who never went under the chuppah with his wife, still perhaps he's the father of the baby, because that was what they used to do in Yehuda. It was not the most chaste thing for them to do, and I'm sure that the Chachamim and the Rabbanim had a lot to say about it. It's not encouraged, not at all encouraged by the Gemara. There's one opinion that says that it's an Isser D'Oraisa. That's why we make a bracha under the chuppah, that we say under the chuppah, Baruch Ata Hashem, blessed are you Hashem, She'asar lanu es ha'arusais, who forbade the arusais to us. Where do you find such a prohibition? So Rabbeinu Hananel, I think, in Ksuvo says that it's an Isser D'Oraisa. But in Yehuda, they used to transgress this Isser D'Oraisa. The Rabbanim must have had a lot of Musar to give them, but at least in the time that the Mishnah was written, so we said, Li by Gaspa, and you have to worry that Arusei Shev Yehuda, that the husband really is the father, even though they never went under the Chuppah. So therefore we say that since there's concern that maybe the Arus, the husband who never went under the chuppah with his wife, is the father of the baby, so even the arusis have to wait 3 months before getting remarried to prevent us from getting confused about whether a baby is a 9-month, a full-term baby from her aros who died or who divorced her, or whether the baby is a premature baby from the second husband. Rabbi Yossi Omer, a third opinion. Again, the Tanakhama said that across the board, women can never, ever, ever get married within the 3 months. Rabbi Yehuda said that the arusas can have nisuin and the nisuas can at least have Eirsin, because both ways we're going to eliminate the concern that the baby comes from one or the other husband. Rabbi Yossi says, Kal Anashim Yisarsu, all of the women can have Eirsin. The Arusais for sure, because then there's no baby, there won't be any baby from the first husband, because they never went under the chuppah, and not from the second husband, because they never went under the chuppah, so that's not a problem. And then the Nisuais can have Eirsin also, because then, even though there may be a baby from the first husband, who was a Nisua, he went under the chuppah with her, but there won't be any baby from the second husband, because it's only Eirsin, so that's not a problem. Chutz min ha'almana, with the exception of an almana, mipnei ha'ibol, on account of avelos. An avel is not allowed to get married, so therefore the avel has to wait until avelos is over before getting married. So that's what Rabbi Yossi is coming to add on. That's what the Mishnah says. The Gemara has a whole long analysis of this Mishnah, but just in terms of reading the Mishnah and understanding it, the way that it appears in front of us, that's what seems to be pshat.